Two dudes watch cartoons. Two dudes watch cartoons. Two dudes watch cartoons. Two dudes watch cartoons. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Welcome back to Two Dudes Watch Cartoons, the podcast where two dudes, that is us, watch cartoons. My name's Evan.
My name is Alex, and Evan, we started with 16 teams, and by the end of this podcast, we will be down to one. We are the finals. Yeah. We have two teams left. Two teams stand before you. Both have fought tooth and nail to get here to the finals. Toy Story and Monsters, Inc., two incredible movies. I really went back and, like, watched these movies this week.
As did I.
Because I needed to say, like, why are these the representing teams of our first ever Pixar March Madness? I do think when they get to 32 films, we could revamp this whole idea. That's a conversation for a different day. Yeah. Different day. So I feel that a lot of people, when they first just look at the bracket, they'll be like, Toy Story versus Monsters, Inc., interesting. And I bet you they're saying interesting on Monsters, Inc. side. But
yeah.
It is so, I feel like, emblematic of what Toy Story, like, when they're in their wheelhouse, when they're in their bag, Monsters, Inc. is what a movie of theirs looks like.
Absolutely. It's when Monsters, Inc. is when they hit their stride. Obviously, Toy Story, you know, all respect. It's the original. It is the template for everything that has come afterward. But it's, in essence, like a proof of concept for, like, the storytelling they kind of want to do. It's a prototype almost. Bug's Life is, like, supporting evidence of the thesis of, like, why these movies resonate.
Yesterday, someone said Bug's Life should have won. And I was like, you are weeks too late. Yeah. You missed the boat on that one. But this is part of the fun of this tournament is everyone still has strong and varying opinions. Mm-hmm. And, how, even though we were seated, we thought we'd have certain teams here, certain teams not there, and it's been a bit of a, while there was some predictable things, predictable votes, it has been interesting, that's for sure. And so I'm excited to wrap it up here. I do want to, you know, normally if we were to do a podcast about a property, you know, we would talk about our favorite moments, things we liked, didn't like. So yeah. I do want to kind of do a condensed version of each of those. Okay. And let's start with our Western. Just reading left to right, Toy Story, the OG, as you said, man, when I put this movie on, the pace of this movie was phenomenal. This is why I miss an hour and 30, an hour and 40 minute movies. They got everything they needed into that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It actually is making me think nowadays, when you go 2 hours and you don't need to, it's bad writing. It's bad writing. It's inefficient.
Yeah. Both of these movies fall right around the 90-minute mark, and it's chef's kiss.
They were cooking.
Although one thing I did notice about both movies, both employ musical montages to do a fair bit of early exposition and, like, progression through the story. And it works.
It works is what I was going to say. Sometimes we get musical montages scenes and it was like, that was kind of pointless. What did I learn there? Mm-hmm. These work. They tell you about the characters. They tell you about the setting. They tell you about the dynamics in Andy's room. So while Randy Newman probably has more lines than any actor in Toy Story. You know what was an interesting on rewatch?
Yeah.
I didn't realize Randy did every song in Toy Story.
Yeah, I forget what. There's a song he sings.
There's a song later on, and I was like, oh, well, this is still
it's
Randy,
like,
Newman.
On the TV or something. It's like a random background one that was really funny.
It's too funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Randy's got the most lines. The very first one, once Buzz shows up, it's all setting up how Buzz is the new kid in school that everyone loves and Woody's old news. And it tells us everything we need to know perfectly.
Yeah. I need to apologize to both of these movies. I think I've had this maybe not so much Toy Story, but I think I may have said it to Monsters, Inc. and a couple other movies like Up, and I'm drawing a blank on the other one, but like where they where I was attributing a lot of the momentum in this tournament to those big emotional moments. The Boo Kitty moment at the end of Monsters, Inc., the first couple minutes of Up. I haven't gone back and watched Up yet, but...
We're boiling it down to the essence.
I was, but watching Monsters, Inc., also Toy Story. These are fun. Like, there's, like, a fun adventure. Like,
yeah.
It's got every... There, it's well-paced, like you said. It moves briskly. It's fun. It's engaging. It's a little dark for a children's movie. There's attempted murder in both of these movies.
So like, what I think you're hitting on, which is what something I wanted to bring up also, I like that you're forming it in the way of an apology. I do think we were kind of one-trick ponying Pixar a little bit. The emotional bits they do, and we were talking heavily about the nostalgia of it all.
Mm-hmm.
These are, and you know, we were saying it about The Incredibles, but it's all of them. These are great films, not just movies, not just animated movies. These are great films from top to bottom.
Yeah.
I can now understand how a Tom Hanks in the 90s looks at this script and says, oh, you know what? I am going to be in this movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's probably a lot better than a lot of other scripts he was getting pitched.
Yeah.
Same with, and kudos to him and
they're taking a chance, Tim Allen.
They're taking a chance on this relatively no-name studio. Have we talked about the history of Pixar at all?
Not much. Let's. You know what? Now's a good time.
I don't actually. If I'm remembering correctly, it spun off of Lucasfilm, right? As the special effects division. I will fact check that. We can move past that. I'll fact check.
No. Well, let's talk a little bit about the history while you fact check it, because that's very interesting. One thing that I saw in all of, not all of these, but the early ones, Steve Jobs is a producer on a lot of these.
Okay.
That really threw me for a loop. Like, whoa, what's Steve doing here? But then also the fun tidbit and factoid that I feel like everyone knows is a lot of the animators were in the same animation class. And they were in a classroom, and the classroom was A113. And if you look in any Pixar movie, you can find that sequence, A113, of numbers. It appears in every Pixar movie. And are you ready for this take? I think Pixar, with these Easter eggs and connections, Finding Nemo is in Boo, that has what spun this whole generation of meta jokes and commentary.
Yeah. All right. So I was spot on, more or less. Pixar started in 1979 as part of the Lucasfilm Computer Division, known as Graphics Group, before it spun off in 1986 with funding from Apple co-founder Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. Yeah. So we always think of Steve Jobs as like, especially you see his movies, he's kind of like a hard ass. But like, imagine him reading the Toy Story script and being like, brilliant.
Yeah.
get it to production. Like, that's so funny to me.
This makes me question, is George Lucas the greatest businessman of all time? Started a film production company, spun off a part of it as, you know, into its own business. I don't know if he was involved with it further beyond that.
After.
That gets acquired by Disney.
Gets bought by Disney.
His main production company gets acquired by Disney as well, and now he's the biggest shareholder in Disney. And I think I sent you a tweet.
Wow.
He's leading the defense against there's like a succession coup happening among
what?
There's like some rogue investors trying to take over the board, and George Lucas is standing firm by Bob Iger, and they both have impeccable records.
Are you telling me George Lucas is the Kendall Roy of Disney right now?
Yeah, but he's successful. Yeah. Yeah. He's the number one boy.
He's the number. That's what I was going for. Yeah. He's the number one boy.
I mean, to dig into this a little bit further, I think it's fascinating. But the producer's last name, I think it's Peltz, who's leading the charge.
Yes. I have seen. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All good. A former, I want to say it was like a former CEO. Ike something? I forget his name, but they're trying to overthrow Bob Iger and his control. And they're big. This Peltz's guy, I mean, main complaint is like, why do all my movies have to be woke and blah, blah, blah. And so Disney went in.
Disney clapped back.
They clapped back. They're like, there's like all black cast, you know, Black Panther. These are bullet pointing.
Their words.
His complaints. And like, why does it have to be all black cast? Why does it have to be all women? And it's just like the box office numbers of Black Panther, of Captain Marvel, just like billions and billions and billions. And it's like Bob Iger, George Lucas, and like the current, why am I standing Disney's board right now?
I was about to say, are we actually Bob Iger fans?
I respect them, weirdly enough. But it was essentially like this board, current board, has created 30, I don't know the exact number, just we like respect, billions and billions and billions of dollars of revenue for.
We respect Bob Iger the same way we respect Brian Cox, Logan,
yeah.
Roy.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. With fear.
With fear.
Anyways,
we know he's listening somehow.
It's a fascinating tidbit if you do. It's currently ongoing, I think. Yeah. And this Peltz guy is known for pressuring M. Night Shyamalan to cast his daughter as Katara in the 2010 live-action The Last Airbender movie, which we do not speak of.
I was going to say, do not let our TikTok comments hear you talk about that movie.
Of which... I'm getting off track. I'm going to skip that. we can keep going.
No, that is a really interesting fact, though, mm-hmm. about George Lucas. In Hollywood, it's got to be one of the most successful, like, start to finish. You know what I mean? Like you mm-hmm. were saying. So good on him. What an interesting start for Pixar, which... if you would be like, oh, yeah, the visual people from Star Wars went and made a studio, you would assume it'd be a ton more like sci-fi stuff. And they said, no, we're going to go hyper-emotional toys brought to life.
Yeah. And it is interesting because I do think Lucasfilm in maybe early aughts had tried to do some CGI stuff that didn't really take off. But, hey, it all worked out in the end.
Worked out how it was supposed to work out. So mm-hmm. back to this all started because we were talking about the plot of Toy Story. So back to Toy Story.
My bad.
No, you're fine. No, it's all interesting. It's all interesting. Also, I'm the one that normally segues crazily. So you get your time. You get your time, sir. So with Toy Story, like I was saying, I think we were attributing the up moment, the kitty, the boo, the Finding Nemo, the big moments to each of these movies. But Toy Story, top to bottom, is hilarious. This is my first time I've ever had the closed captioning on while watching Toy Story. Because I'll be honest, I'm not a caption guy. I don't really like them. Nikki's the one that likes them. So it's new in my life. Mm-hmm. I will say, it has changed some lines. Did you know he calls him, hey, Light Beer. He calls him Light Beer.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was crazy. I was like 5 years old watching this. Like mm-hmm. nowadays, parents, I'm not kidding. I think parents nowadays would be like, oh, I can't believe they'd say that in a kid's movie.
Closed captions is a game changer. I was also a convert, and I'm into it now.
Yeah.
Mostly because I want to watch TV quietly. And so
I was going to say, I know why you're doing it. I just have that problem they talk about where like I get too lost in it and I realize I'm not watching the characters anymore, and I hate that.
Or you'll read the punchline before it happens.
I'll turn it off for comedy. It's someone out there needs to create a closed captioning system that is timed appropriately for comedy. I think they will make $1 million off that idea.
Oh yeah.
Cuz it's terrible. But so anyways, just reading this, it made me realize this is a really solid screenplay. Like, every aspect of this movie at the time, the computer, and you know what? We were ragging on how the animation looked dated.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. For, like, I was sitting there being like, this was like 1999 or whatever it was. I was like, this is pretty crazy, actually. Like, the scales on the dinosaur, like, he's a toy. He looks plasticky, scaly. If that, like, that's pretty good.
Yes. It's good, yeah. And the difference between Monsters, Inc. and Toy Story doesn't seem that drastic.
No. not drastic, but there is an improvement. Like, you, like, I don't know they would have nailed such a furry character in Toy Story. You know what I mean?
True, true. The only, really the only instance where it stands out in both, actually, in both movies is the human characters. I don't know what, so this is what I mean, I don't know. They were going for some sense of realism with the humans, I think. And that's why they look super fucked up, and they all sort of have the same character model.
They all have the same character
through Monsters, Inc. Yeah.
Do you think that's why Sid in the first one is so terrifying? Because I remember being...
I mean, even Andy is.
Like, Andy's a monster!
Yes.
Yeah, he ain't. He's not that handsome of a fellow yet. He gets good looking in 3 by the end, so we'll give him some time. But no, I totally get what you mean, but... You watch these later Toy Stories, like Toy Story 4, and the animation is absolutely gorgeous. Like, it's like it's stunning to me.
Yeah, I like... So they veered away from doing this sort of semi-realistic rendering of human characters in later movies, which is... I applaud, because...
They learned...
They clearly have the eye for great character design in all of these movies. And... I like that they started to abstract the human ones a little more, but there are some seriously ugly kids in Monsters, Inc. I think the last kid, that
Kitty or
Mike Wazowski is telling a joke to, I was like, this kid's fucked up, dude.
It's the end of the movie. Yeah. They were like, just get a kid in there, hurry. I think most of the background children, because we really don't spend much time with them, but I think Boo looks fine.
Yeah, Boo looks good.
I think Boo is one of the all-time best Pixar characters. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I agree. Who's the most powerful Pixar character? Who could take on Shaggy or Goku? Or One
Who's
Punch
the Man? Most powerful? I mean, so your mind jumps to The Incredibles, but let's be real. None of them are taking Goku. So... I will say Buzz and Woody take some hard falls. Mm-hmm. Like, if I could have the toys as an army, like, you know, they would do some damage. But even then, you know, they're going to melt and whatnot. Shoot, who's the most powerful? Do you have an answer to this?
I don't. We can marinate.
You know what? You know what? I bet it's one of the monsters.
Yeah. In like a video game setting, the popping in and out of doors would be sweet as a function.
We haven't gotten there, but that's the part of the movie where I was like, when they fly back into the door room, because I know where it's going and coming, and you just get that scene, I go, this movie's fucking lit. I literally said that. I go, well, what I really appreciate about Pixar, and maybe this is a flaw in nowadays, is you get the door element, but someone was like, where are all these doors? Do they open when they're in storage? Like, you know what I mean? Someone asked the hard questions. And they were like, that's great. What if we do the closing scene there? Like, they took this nonsensical idea of they can teleport into any door, and they added a sense of realism, like the delivery system to the doors.
Yeah, it's great. There's some really awesome set pieces in Monsters, Inc.
Yes.
And there's one in particular that I was like, I don't know why, but I get the feeling that this was in some sort of GameCube game version of this when he's sliding down the mountain from coming from the Yeti's cave.
It's like a browser game I can picture. Yeah. That's funny. Man. But also, like you said, this was an adventure. When we were with the Yeti, once again, I was like, wow, we're so far off. Like, by all intents and purposes, they should be trapped here. You know what I'm saying? Like, this movie's nuts. And so, but on the scale of monsters to whole world, toys to bigger world, Toy Story did a lot of similar things. Like Buzz and Woody going to a gas station and an arcade. Like, there's no reason they should end up back home. And you know what me and Nikki really said? We're like, man, them getting to the arcade and then ending up next door to Andy's house was astronomical odds.
Man, it's been a long time since I've actually sat down to watch that. I'll catch it on TV on occasion. And I don't know why, but the final scene, flying down to the truck, falling in style.
Dude.
That moves me. the friendship, the freedom.
I understand how this movie steamrolled the way it did to get here to the end. Because if we had watched it again, and I think we were attributing a lot of its success to like 2, 3, and 4. Mm-hmm. One holds up. One was so much fun. Yeah. One, when, yes, just the flying into the truck was amazing. But even the whole saga from arcade to the ending of Sid's house was very tense. There's like scary toys that as a kid, you're like, these are horrifying. And like, you know, even just like Buzz going through his existential crisis of realizing he is, man, I can't get this out of my head. As soon as Woody started saying it, I said it along with him. You are a toy. Like, it's just ingrained in my head.
One of Buzz's first lines where he's like, terrain is unstable or whatever the fuck he says. It made me want to go back and watch Lightyear and see. I'm betting that they use that line. In
yeah.
It, which
oh, they
would
do.
Nice
they definitely do.
Callback. Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely do. So, but while we were talking about the themes of the movie, we really boiled Toy Story down to like, you got a friend in me. But what's really interesting is I think Toy Story circles back to this idea in Toy Story 4. A lot of it is Woody dealing with
change. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
He's not good at it.
He's really bad at dealing with change.
He tries to murder Buzz.
He tries to.
Damn. I forgot
Which
about that.
I remember as a kid, all the other toys like banishing Woody and being like, if he could do it to Buzz, he could do it to us. And I was like, those toys are so unreasonable. He didn't mean to. Watching this back, I was like, Buzz was.
Get him out of the tribe. Yeah.
Get him out.
He's a much less sympathetic character.
He really is. No, but he has a lot of growing to do. And it's really highlighted in the beginning when he's like, no one has to worry about the birthday. We've been through this. New toys, they come. No one's getting replaced. And then, like, of course, he's the one that ends up getting replaced.
This is a total aside, but there's a very, in my opinion, well done parody comic of Toy Story as if it were Jujutsu Kaisen Battle, Buzz and Woody fighting each other. I think they're on TikTok. They might be floating around on Twitter somewhere, but if you enjoy either of these properties, if you enjoy Jujutsu Kaisen and have seen Toy Story, you'll really like these. I don't know about the other way around.
Don't flip that. That's funny. No, I like I said, it's a cultural touchstone, and I get it. Like, mm-hmm. I understand a little more. I was attributing the success. And this is not to say 2, 3, and 4 aren't great and improvements and some are good, some are bad, whatever. Like, I'm speaking strictly from one's point of view. It really held up. I was laughing. I was nervous. I was emotional at the end. I was like, man, but when Woody, because like we're talking about this new lens of Woody's kind of a dick. When Woody kicks RC out of the moving van, and they're all like, he's doing it again! I was like, this is so funny, actually.
Oh, the other thing I picked up this time, the dinosaur Rex, is that his name?
Yeah.
Rex, or whatever, is canonically a Mattel character. They weren't willing to give him
Mattel,
Barbie.
And do you like his explanation? He goes, I'm from Mattel. Well, actually I'm from a smaller company that Mattel ended up buying out. And like...
Yeah.
That was the point where I realized, I'm going to enjoy this rewatch.
Uh-huh. One thing I did want to look at as we compare these two franchises in the finals, we did leave it open-ended whether listeners should or could consider the entire franchise or just these individual movies. But as a note for your consideration, even though the voting's already completed, results can't be affected. I thought we should examine the total box office take of each respective franchise.
Yeah, good call. So there's 2 to 4 movies, but yeah.
Yeah. So Toy Story, if we loop in Lightyear as well, there's a total of 5 movies. $720 million. That's the budget. Shit.
I was like, that's not right, Evan.
That's not right.
I go, I don't know these numbers that well, but that is not correct.
Let me crunch my numbers again.
There's 5 movies and they made $700 million. Those are all failures.
All right. One moment.
No, you're good. And I think an important thing you just made is while Lightyear is not like Toy Story 5, I do think it like speaks to the impact. Buzz Lightyear also had his own TV show. How many other Pixar things had their own TV shows?
Yeah. All right. I may need your help real quick.
Okay.
And just note down a quick number. So Toy Story.
Oh, hold on. Am I taking totals?
No. I just need you to jot. I'll do the crunching and then you just jot them down.
Tell me when to jot.
All right. So Toy Story worldwide box office gross, $3.269 billion and, you know, a couple more decimals after that, divided by the five movies in the franchise is $653.8 million on average.
Yeah, okay. On average, between the five movies.
Between
okay.
the five films. But, you know, massive numbers still. Monsters, Inc. has two entries. $1.306 billion worldwide box office take divided by the two entries is $653 million.
That's actually impressive. I wonder if you take Lightyear out of there, if that skews it, maybe.
It shoots it up.
It shoots it way up.
Yeah, they got a dead
in
there.
That is an interesting stat, though. But, okay, this is a good transition to move over to... So, Toy Story, congratulations. You earned your spot in this finals. We never were saying you didn't, but we were a little surprised at how well you were doing. I get it now. I get it. I totally get it. Super enjoyable. We'll watch again. I think, honestly, and I know we talk about this, could be an amazing first movie. Like, for someone to see, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just, voila, absolutely. 10 out of 10. There are some scary parts towards the end. I was a little scared.
Yeah, it's spooky. Sid's a fucked up kid. The dog.
What do you think was scarier, Toy Story or Monsters, Inc.?
Maybe Monsters, Inc.
What part of Monsters, Inc. was scary? I'm asking now.
Not, like, straight up terror, but, like, the idea that an institution... and people in authority could be that malicious and that evil.
What?
Yeah.
You were worried about corporate greed after Toy Story?
What's this boss's name?
Oh, Waternoose. Which is like such an old money, like Vanderbilt, Waternoose. Like it's such an old money name for like energy. It's pretty classic. So Evan says the fears of capitalism edged out him as a child. Yep. I think as a kid, I was more scared of Toy Story. Okay, maybe that was what I was trying to clarify.
All right.
Evan goes, the institution failed them all. All the monsters. So I did, moving on to Monsters. I'm sorry, that was funny. Moving on to Monsters, Inc. I really liked watching it again with this new lens I had of like fear of the unknown as the theme.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, a fantastic fucking film. Not movie, not animated movie, not Pixar movie, film, top to bottom. This movie, I will say, was way more funny, I think.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
10 times more funny. They were packing in jokes here left and right.
They even throw in bad stand-up, and it's hilarious. It's like the Monsters, Inc. is outright like a comedy through and through.
Yeah, yeah, and a little bit of comedy of errors, a little bit of Shakespeare in there, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I meant to ask you in Toy Story. Who's your favorite character in Toy Story?
I got a soft spot for Buzz.
Yeah.
The Boy Scout.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny how squeaky clean Buzz does come out of this. Like, he didn't do anything wrong. You know what I'm saying?
True. Yeah.
Woody was like total jackass throughout this whole
Woody's
movie.
Woody's an asshole. I did not remember that about this movie.
So, I would probably venture to say, like, as a kid to an adult, Buzz would be my favorite too. But if we're going to talk, like, most improved, like, character I didn't like to this time, I'm like, damn. They write everything they say. Slinky Dog. Or Mr. Potato Head, too. Just that group, I think. I was very down on them. I'm like, they betrayed Buzz. But as I mentioned this time, I was like, Buzz? Or, excuse me, they betrayed Woody. But this time around, I was like, Woody kind of deserved it.
It's a great ensemble cast.
It is. It is. The voices
the script
go
is really
run deep. The
moving.
Voices
yeah.
are good. Even the army men, they have like one scene. They're hilarious. So
yeah.
a lot of good characters. But I think that translates over to Monsters, Inc. Really deep set of fun characters. Like even the guy who gets the sock on him twice. 2319 or whatever they say, and they shave him down and they buzz him. Like that shit was hilarious to me as a kid. Yeah. Monsters, Inc.'s got a lot of really great characters, and one that I was a little scared of as a kid, but I really appreciated this time around, was Randall. Let's talk about the corporate greed of it all. Like, my man's just trying to get a promotion. You know what I'm saying? He's tired of being number two.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's the institution. It's capitalism, man. That's the villain.
What I really appreciated about Randall is I was, like, scared of him as a kid, but watching him being able to move kind of on floor and walls and turn invisible, he might be a contender for one of our most powerful. Like, he's taken down anyone in The Incredibles.
When he's choking Sully?
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Sully's huge. You know what I'm saying? Like, Randall, for me, like, I know this is not, we're not anime Jujutsu Kaisen, but power scaling, I really underrated Randall in it all.
He's slick. The one thing about that fight, I love that we're dissecting it as an anime. It just struck me as funny that all Sully needed was the snowball to hit Randall in the face. It's like, as if he can't feel him wrapping around his neck.
Well, I will contend then he knew where his face was, which is what he needed to bash.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying is the power of invisibility actually. I think.
I'm convinced.
If you are like a baseline decent fighter, invisibility might be one of the most powerful powers there is then.
Yeah. I think it's a good one.
And he's fast. He's not slow. Like, I mean, shit, we're talking weaklings. I think Boo could beat Mike Wazowski. I think she did.
Yeah. I mean, she, in universe, is essentially an infinite power source.
You know what? We need to talk about the implications of screaming being infinite supply of power.
Yeah.
Because let's say human beings on Earth found an animal that could produce power through screams. You're telling me they wouldn't have made that suction fucking screaming thing and put every chicken they known to Earth in it?
That's the plot of the recent Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. They're going to milk them.
They're going to milk them.
They're going to milk them. To me, it struck me as like one of those, like, you ever remember like elementary school, they'd always say like, actually, it would be on the back of like a popsicle stick. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. It's like one of those things to me.
Just from knowing my own body. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. But from knowing my own body, that does not make sense. My face is resting when I frown. It is not resting right now. I can feel the muscles working. And are you ready for this? Say that is true. Shouldn't you want to be working out your fucking face? Use more muscle.
I guess, yeah.
Debunked it twice over. This, though, was a very good example, and I touched on it before in the themes one, where it's like they were so scared of these things, but then in the end, laughter worked as well. Like, you know what I mean? It was really like such a symbolic way of overcoming your fear of things that are unknown to you.
Laughter is the best
medicine. Infinite power source. Laughter is the best medicine, and it's an
Boo
infinite power source.
Boo might be the most powerful Pixar character of all time. Then.
In the monster universe, yeah. Oh, and you know what, though? I always felt like the laughter bit kind of came out of left field almost, but they do hint at it. Like, Boo shuts down a whole city block when she starts laughing in Mike and Sully's apartment.
I mean,
I love the
they're
names,
laying out,
too.
That's
There's
the
like,
plot, the premise of the movie.
I love that they're, like, as basic of names as you can. Like, you know what I mean? They could have been like, let's give them monster names. And they're like, no, James P. Sullivan and Mike Wazowski.
Yeah, I love it. It makes the bureaucratic nature of the company, like, it fleshes that part of the world out for you to make it human and relatable.
Evan and I are wannabe movie critics. We're also wannabe chefs.
We're all doing more cooking at home now. You want to elevate your home cooking, you need nice tools to do it, Louis Kitchenware will get you there. They have beautiful stainless steel pans, nonstick bakeware, knives, all the stuff you need. Safe, high quality materials, constructed to last, made in the United States, founded in Detroit.
Moving into my condo, we got hand-me-downs. So this new Louis Kitchenware has been great, and we love the discount. We want to share that with our listeners.
You can use code 2DUDES, that's T-W-O DUDES, at LouisKitchenware.com, and that'll give you 10% off anything on the site.
Check out our link in bio.
Two dudes watch cartoons. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I don't know if there's more you want to cover, but I think I got a good segue for us to then transition into results.
Yes.
In the spirit of our normal episodes, our normal coverage, I want to do I just got two quick letterbox reviews that I think you'll enjoy of each of these movies. And then we'll give each our own letterbox reviews, which are open to be amended in the future if we do a full episode on either. The first is 4 stars for Toy Story.
Mm-hmm.
This person writes, "The most relatable part of this movie is when Buzz becomes self-aware, has an existential crisis, and sinks into depression."
Yeah, that
I agree.
Great part of the movie. Great part.
Mm-hmm. And then I think you'll really like this one.
Okay.
4.5 stars for Monsters, Inc. Door City over here. Great review. Dude, Karst. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah. That is funny. Okay. Those are good. What are you rating these? Yeah, what do you give us your ratings?
Shit, man. I think. I think the Boo moment still weighs in more for me than any of the emotional peaks in Toy Story. So I'm gonna give Monsters, Inc. a 5. I think Toy Story is a 4.5. It's a grade A movie. It's just not perhaps my favorite Pixar movie.
Nice. Shoot, you're way more critical than I am. I'm going 5 stars for both. I really
That's
think
fair.
These are great.
Yeah.
I
They're
just
both
like,
great films.
You know, on my scale, I try not to make it like compared to other 5-star things I've done. For me, it's like, did it check all the boxes? Did I laugh? Did I cry? Did I think? Like, you know what I mean? Was it?
It's a great checklist.
It's not the full checklist, but both of these, you know, made me think about myself, society. It was great.
Yeah.
Ride. 5 out of 5. All the way through.
Oh, yeah.
I see why they're both here. Although I venture out of our 16 teams, I bet I'd give a lot of these a 5, if I'm being real.
Absolutely. And one day we'll revisit this.
One
we'll
day.
Give it a couple of years.
We will. Okay. Results. You know what happened. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you how you feel, but there's only 2 teams, so I think that'll give it away.
Yeah. You recall how last week was... Yeah. Our closest
votes decided both.
Votes wise in both of the matches that led up to these finalists. Surprisingly, this was noticeably not as close.
Oh no. Okay.
As the previous
Let's get
final.
Into it. No, that's all I need to know. Let's get into it.
I don't know that it was a stomping by any means, but
I think
you will be surprised by the results.
Okay. That means it's a stomping. Let me pull this up. Hold on. How we do it is he sends it over to me in invisible text, and then I wipe it away, and then I read the results. Okay. With 62% of the votes. So I see what you're saying. This is this is not 51 and 51. 62% of the votes. We have a champion of our first annual Pixar March Madness tournament. And the winner is... Monsters, Inc.! Wow. Okay, I really thought with your buildup, you were preparing me for the Toy Story slam dunk. Look, and I'm sad for Toy Story, I will be honest.
Yeah.
They definitely had a claim to win this whole thing. There's no doubt about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. They were the shoo-in.
I'm so happy for Monsters, Inc., though. I'm so happy because I just think that this is, like, the best of both worlds. It gets that nostalgia, that classic Pixar, and it's still just, like, top to bottom, so funny, so well written. Oh, I got goosebumps. I'm so happy right now.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm happy this is my winner pick, although my faith faltered. You know, it's not a victory for me per se, but it, you know, this is the spirit of the tournament. Monsters, Inc., to me, is when they hit their stride. Third time's the charm, and it was the charm. This is a perfect, perfect, perfect movie.
Mm.
And it cemented their place as a powerhouse in American cinema, American animation.
Ooh. Look at that, and
worldwide.
So, I mean, we have to note here the two brackets. Toy Story first beat Elemental, which we all expected. Mm-hmm. Then we were hoping for a Coco upset just based on fan reactions. Toy Story handily beat Coco. And then to narrowly edge out Finding Nemo is no small feat. So Toy Story did well. But man, the teams Monsters, Inc. played were some of the best teams we've seen. Monsters, Inc. started off against WALL-E, which some people like hold in a different bracket. Not everyone, but some people like don't even consider that like in the same genre of Pixar. And then Inside Out, which was, they were one of the first teams to beat a seed, which was crazy. Another favorite. And then to beat Incredibles also. They've just had such, I'm glad they're here, but for all intents and purposes, they've had three matches they easily could have lost.
Yeah, there's a case for them losing each and every round.
And this last one, all four matches. I think that's why I'm so excited, is they fought hard all 4 weeks.
Yes, and not to say that Toy Story didn't. Toy Story showed up week in, week out.
We've talked, though, Toy Story's got a Best Picture nominee on the bench.
Yeah,
like it's... Yeah. Monsters University is not holding this team down in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. Toy Story, the franchise is nothing to sneeze at. They're walking back to the locker room with their heads held high.
They're pissed. They're fucking pissed. They're so pissed.
They're coming back next year with Toy Story 5. I think it's 2026.
They're making Toy Story 5 just for the bracket.
This has been an intense ride.
This has been so much fun. I know this is not our regularly scheduled programming. We're going to get back to that with our next episode. So thank you for sticking around. Thank you for voting in this tournament. Hope you guys had fun with this. It was a lot of fun. Goofy talking about sports teams from two avid sports fans, as you know. And so this was our March Madness. We got to have some fun with the tournament style. And I not to let my sports side show, but I love single elimination tournaments for this reason. Anything can happen. It only takes one good day or one bad day for a team.
Hey, if you love the result, let us know on Instagram or TikTok or Twitter. And if you vehemently disagree with it, let us know. Hit us up in our DMs.
I will say also, this is a horrible place to do this at the very end. We have had like such an outpour from everyone this month, like watching it, casual people, regular people, and like what a fun time. I do want to tease, I think is probably what I'll do. Me and Evan are working on maybe trying to get a little community together where we can all talk about these things together. So if that interests you, keep your ears open. We've been hearing from you, and we want to, you know, take the conversation to the next level. Taking it back all the way to our episode about Scott Pilgrim with our great guest, Gideon. He said, I really enjoyed coming on because I don't have many people to talk about these things with. Like, it's a very niche love that we have. So hopefully we can bring that to more people here soon. Yeah. Just keep an eye and an ear out.
I don't think it's a niche interest, right? I think it's less common for us as adults to talk about animation with other adults, and that is the fucking mission of the pod.
That's what we're trying to cultivate. That's why we started this thing. So thanks for watching, thanks for listening, thanks for voting, and we will. What are we doing next? I don't even know. Should we say?
Black Cauldron.
Oh, let's not say. We're doing Black Cauldron next.
That'll do it for this episode of Two Dudes Watch Cartoons. We will catch you next time. Two Dudes Watch Cartoons.